Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, February 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. Time once again for the Science Forum on Vox Pop. We welcome back some brilliant people to answer your scientific inquiries. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You may email the program, of course. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number 800-348-2551. The Science Forum is coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we reconvene the Science Forum and we bring back the best of the best to answer your questions and your comments. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You may also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number 800-348-2551. We have a panel of two today, but they're the two most brilliant people I know. Let's meet our panel of experts.
Ooh, the best of the best, huh? Thanks,
yeah, well,
Raph.
I mean, more, Raph. The best we have right now at this point, anyway.
In the snow. Barbara Brabets, I'm a biochemist, and I teach at SUNY Cobleskill.
And I'm Ed Stander, and I teach geology and astronomy at SUNY Cobleskill. And we are the Cobleskill crowd.
That's right.
And we escaped the snow.
It was a long drive, huh?
It was a long drive.
How long did it take you to come from Cobleskill?
I told you an hour and 15 minutes, but I could make it longer because this is
entertainment. Did you say 1:15?
I did.
And it was only a few moments ago you said that?
It was.
Oh, boy.
I thought you were doing it for the air.
That's not too good.
Yeah.
No, well, that's terrible. Well, I'm glad you made it. And the roads are a little slick. So if you're going out on the road to avoid listening to the program, make sure you take it easy. Our number is 800-348-2551. This one came right in via email.
Ooh, email.
We're going to jump right into this. This is from Ethan in Lakeville. Do the little parasites on us have partial population wipeouts when we run a towel, let's say, across our back after having a shower?
Ooh, parasites.
Yeah.
So,
first of all, we have parasites on us?
Oh, do I want to talk about eyelash mites with you?
Oh, and hair follicles? Follicle worms?
Sure.
Yeah.
They're wonderful.
Yeah, there are. Most of them are smaller than microscopic. There are some larger ones. You've heard about human lice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or scabies, mites.
Mites.
Mm-hmm.
Those are larger. They're in the same family as spiders, like spiders and fleas. So they have an outer shell. They're hard to kill because they have an outer shell. It's much easier to kill a spider with a flip-flop than it is to kill a mite with a flip-flop. You know, if you've ever seen a spider in the corner. I like spiders, but some people are, you know, they go after them with whatever is close by. Flip-flops often seem to be close by. Anyway, the scabies really are resistant because they have that outer coating, kind of like an M&M. So we have to penetrate the outer coating to kill them. So we have to use stronger and stronger insecticides to kill them. A towel really takes off the biofilm that's on the surface of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Soap does the same thing. That's why hand washing is good to remove things like the flu virus or bacterial contamination. So once you remove that biofilm, you are removing parasites, but we're talking about really little guys, not the tiny insects that make up the mite and flea population.
And if you went theoretically in a bathtub for 3 or 4 hours, would you drown them?
That's a good question. I wonder. I know that there are home remedies for these little bugs that have to do with tea tree oil. That's a really big thing, like to kind of dose them with tea tree oil because they do breathe through their skin, through their outer covering. And if you plug the holes, the stoma, of their thorax, their body, then they will suffocate because they will not have the ability to survive.
Interesting.
Yeah, but things like mites, for example, we've had a scabies scare not that long ago, which turned out not to be scabies.
Where was this?
It was
not at Cobleskill.
Not at Cobleskill.
Oh, okay.
No,
not in Studio A, presumably.
No.
Okay, good.
But the sitting in a bathtub at 120 degrees will kill them.
Aha.
That's a hot temperature.
What about salt
water?
You go swimming in the ocean?
Salt water doesn't really bother them. And in fact, water is not as effective as the oils because you can get little bubbles of air that will encapsulate on the skin or the outer covering of these bugs. And so it's their way of kind of taking some oxygen with them.
Oh. Yeah. So butter yourself up.
Yes, butter yourself up.
All right, let's, with that disgusting image in our minds, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark in Salem is first. Mark.
Hello. believe it or not, yesterday my elderly cat went outside and he came back in and he had three ticks on him.
Oh, yeah.
Three different ticks, different varieties. And I was curious. I know they make a mosquito, like a dunk for putting in water that kills the mosquito larvae. Does anybody know of anything that would be appropriate to, besides, you know, a pesticide because animals are walking on it, that might help to diminish the population, if not, I mean, you can't eradicate it. They fall out of the trees on you. I had some kind of tick disease last fall that caused me to lose my balance completely. I was falling all over the place like a drunken sailor. The tick population is just, we're in Washington County up here, and it's just gone haywire because is there an insect that I can import that would eat them?
I've got some suggestions for
okay.
you. So
okay.
I'm kind of bummed that on the one warm day your cat came back with three ticks. I was hoping.
Yeah, he was just outside for half an hour.
Yeah, I was hoping that a relatively cold winter, where we got down to minus 20 or so, especially up in Washington County, might have been enough to really do them in.
I thought so, too.
And these were adults. They were not the tiny, just look like freckles. They actually, you could see legs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are adult ticks, which means they overwintered. Boo-hoo for us. The best attacks beyond the pesticides that you're talking about, although I will say I do buy a collar for my cats, because I, too, have had a tick-borne disease. And I think it's the cats bringing them in the house, and then they end up in my bed. That really...
That's what happens.
And as gross as that sounds, it happens. And it does not take a full 24 hours for a tick to be latched onto you to be able to move the disease-laden saliva from them to you. So,
I was on doxycycline for 8 weeks.
Well, I hope it doesn't come back. Anyway, two of the birds that you can really have in your yard, although your neighbors may love you for this, they'll get rid of the ticks, are guinea hens.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yep, they love that. And actually chickens. So those those two poultry families do a good number on the ticks.
Huh.
Taking leaf litter away, like the leaves that have fallen down, create a moist barrier which allow the eggs to be laid. Eggs don't want to be in the dry, so removing that leaf litter layer as quickly as possible once the snow melts is probably your best bet beyond the biological control.
The guinea hens are great, but they never shut up.
They don't. Chickens are quieter as long as you keep the females
I've had chickens, and I will probably start doing that again then.
Your cat will love you for the chickens.
I'll give you two more as well. I've found just in traveling around the area that if you have wild thyme on your lawn, they tend to stay away.
Really?
Yeah, they don't like thyme whatsoever. The other thing is thiamine. If you're going out in the woods for a period of time, if you overdose effectively in thiamine, which is a water-soluble
vitamin,
so it comes out of your skin, they don't like that at all, so they'll drop right off.
Any harmful effects from overdosing on thiamine?
Well,
none at all. There are some people who get really severe headaches when they take a B vitamin. So you want to make sure that you try it with your doctor to make sure that you're fine with that. But you do excrete extra thiamine. You don't keep it in.
Yeah.
So you'll just put the pill in and it'll come out in other forms.
Well, that's very interesting. But, we've had vets on this program who say, first warm day you get in the winter, they will be back.
They will be back. They'll be back.
And they are here again. Mm-hmm. So our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Before we take our first break, Ed Stander, you wanted to talk a little bit about South Africa.
Well, I just want to talk about groundwater because people don't ever talk about groundwater. And most of the water around here comes from the ground. Albany, I believe, uses 9 million gallons of groundwater a day. And most of the groundwater around here and around the world was put in the ground during the last glaciation.
That was
10,000 years ago. And so it's fossil water. And people don't think about that when they're using this stuff because when it runs out, it runs out. And that's what's happening in Cape Town. I think it's April 15th. They're turning the taps off everybody's houses.
Yeah.
And they're going to have on the order of 200 outside taps, and they're going to give people 7 gallons per day per person.
Yeah.
And on average in the United States, people use between 55 and 100 gallons per day for their personal use.
Yeah.
And so that includes their laundry, toilet flushing, drinking. It also includes things like their food.
And that's what the World Health Organization requires, 150 gallons per day, but they're going down to 7 because they've run out of so much water.
All right, let's take a break. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, the Science Forum. We'll be back with more of your calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Dr. Snuffy's, providing high-potency vitamin herbal tablets for flu season colds, formulated by a local doctor with natural immune-boosting ingredients. Available at health stores across the WAMC listening area, getwellformulas.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole-grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Merritt Bookstore Millbrook, an independent bookshop with a full curated selection of fiction, nonfiction, and toys for all ages. MerrittBooks.com. And from Schenectady County Historical Society, featuring the Mobby Farm Museum, Research Library, and now the Bauer House. Presenting programs, changing exhibitions, walking tours, workshops, and more. SchenectadyHistorical.org for more information.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It's the Science Forum, and the Science panel today is a panel of two brilliant folks. Barbara Brabets and Ed Stander are here to answer your questions. And back to the phones we go. Harriet in Woodstock. Hello, Harriet.
Hey, hi. I just couldn't help myself. I had to call in. I wanted to add a little bit of information to the tick problem, which is a severe epidemic, as we know.
Yep.
One of the reasons for the huge increase in tick populations is the overgrowth of barberry. And you can look that up online and you'll find all the research they've been doing that the barberry bushes, which are quietly taking over the Northeast, you may or may not have noticed, provide very secure nesting areas for the mice that are a very important part of the tick reproductive cycle.
And you are correct. Yes, yeah. All of that is documented in the scientific literature.
Yeah, so
and you can't browse barberry if you're a deer or some other, you know, grazer. It's just too harsh. There's actually barberry eradication programs in, I think, New England. I don't think New York has one endorsed by DEC.
Well, we better get one or else that's all we're going to see.
They will become the Barbary Coast.
State to the other. And another thing also is one of the most favored animals for eradicating ticks are possums.
Really?
Opossums are huge tick eaters. They love them. The ticks get on the opossums and they just eat them off their bodies. And
true.
But I have no information on how to actually attract opossums.
Right, yeah. He can't go and order one from Agway.
No, but you go to my backyard and get them.
Oh, send me one.
All right.
I love them. They're wonderful creatures.
And they're rabies resistant. They're very much not a mammal that succumbs to rabies.
Well, Harriet, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. We have one. We thought it maybe had rabies. It was kind of hobbled along. Must be very old.
Either that or just they're...
They don't like the cold whatsoever, and they have real problems in the winter.
Yeah. Well, this one was kind of hobbling around in the summer, and then we saw him the other day, and he looks like the same old guy just cruising around the backyard.
Yeah, maybe he's got some mites. Who knows, right?
You never know. Over to Dottie in Warwick, New York. Dottie, you're on.
Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. I have a question for you guys. I work at a horse farm, and in the single-digit weather that we had a few weeks ago, all the buckets would freeze up because we don't have the heated waterers and stuff like that for them. So I saw on YouTube somebody said that if you take a personal-size plastic water bottle, you know, like the 16.9 fluid-ounce one, fill it halfway with salt water and put the cap back on, put that in the water bucket, it'll keep the water from freezing. Now, I don't know if that's BS or if that's actually true, and if it's true, why would that work?
All right.
Halfway. Well, isn't that interesting?
Well, basically, I can see the if you fill a water bottle with salt water, put halfway in so it floats at the top, then it won't freeze. The water in it won't freeze. But it'll still
because
go down.
Because it's causing it's in the way, so to speak?
No, it's because
for the ice to continue all the way across?
No, it depresses the water temperature, the freezing point of water.
Right, that's in the plastic
but
container.
That's in the plastic container.
Right,
but
right that's what. The only other thing I could think of is that somebody said, well, they kind of use it, the horse's nose uses it as a plunger to kind of break the ice. But this chick on YouTube showed it, and there was no ice in it at all. It was just clear, just plain old water. So I didn't know. I wrote it down. Like, I have to remember to ask the science forum. So.
Well, I can tell you. So in my water research, sometimes I have to go out and collect water in the middle of winter, which is you know, sometimes better than 99 degrees. But you know, it's grass is greener. If you take an inner tube tire and you put it in the middle of your pond and you let it stay there till February, it'll be frozen all the way around it. I mean, you can still disrupt the formation of the crystals, which I think is what your YouTube video is implying, that the thing in the center is going to somehow disrupt the formation of crystals in a complete circle. But it'll still freeze. I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If cold is cold.
Cold
but I didn't know
cold.
Why they would fill it with the salt halfway up with the salt water, if that would have any, but it's through the plastic, and the plastic, as far as I know, is not permeable.
No,
so why would that
permeable.
Matter? And why would you want salt? Well, I don't know. I just thought I would ask and see if you guys had any clue.
Yeah, well, my problem with that, it's even worse than that, is if you put it in a metal bucket, then it's going to freeze from the outside in towards the plastic bottle.
Well, most horse buckets are plastic.
Typically the 5-gallon plastic buckets.
Well, still, if you have a bucket where it's cold on the outside, then it's going to freeze from the outside.
Well, of course, it always freezes on the outside first.
Right.
So it was just bizarre. So I'm going to maybe chalk it up to it was nonsense.
Well, I'm going to do the science forum. Like, let's think of what they were trying. What might the real science be? First off, salt water in the plastic bottle that's sealed, that's filled halfway, so the salt water is more dense than fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
Salt water with water or with air on the top may try to approximate the same density so that it floats. So why do we need it to float? So the horse can bob up, maybe the bobbing up and down and break the ice with the nose, but
that's
I don't know.
The only thing, that's the only practical thing that we could come up with, the lady in the video showed, I put it out last night and it was 3 below 0, whatever the heck, because she was up north, you know, up in the 80Ks, and she had no ice, not even around the outside edge. So, I don't know.
Then I was thinking, is it 3 below 0 Celsius instead of 3 below 0 Fahrenheit? Because there's a difference there.
Well, she was in New York, so I'm, you know, assuming that it was Fahrenheit. You know, because it was, remember that 2 weeks where we had, you guys had single digits. Well, we had single digits here in Warwick, but up north it was below.
Oh, yeah, we'd
so
way below.
Those were the weeks that they filmed that.
Yeah,
that video.
I'll do two things. First of all, I'll go and check out the video and see if it makes sense to me. And second of all, I'll get a bucket and stick a bottle with salt water in it and see what happens.
I have an experiment, but I don't know if we're going to get in those single digits again. So.
Oh, I can find a freezer.
You know, the guy
That's
Ray
no
was
problem.
Talking to yesterday, yeah. I'm not so sure we're going to get back in the single digits.
Yeah, well, I hope not.
Well, your typical freezers, you know, where you put your frozen meat, they're in the single digits. So that's not hard to do.
Dottie, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. And over to Bill and Glenn. Bill, you're on.
Hi. Thank you. A company named Listec is going to be invited into the town of Glenn to chisel inject sewage sludge into the soil. I understand that they'll be putting like 920 pounds per acre in a slurry in the topsoil. of heavy metals and chemicals from sewage plants and everything that really should be landfilled, but now they're just going to landfill it in little furrows without any linings. So I was just kind of wondering what your opinion was and what this might do to the watershed.
Well, Bill, I live in Lost Valley, so on the other side of the Schoharie Creek from Glen. So I'm familiar with what Listec has been asking to do. I don't think it's a done deal yet. I think there's still a grassroots outcry from the people of Glen to try to stop Listec from coming to town. So with that said, what their plan is to do exactly what you say, is to take the biosolids, which are, for lack of a better term, dry manure coming off of a wastewater treatment plant. It is all of the stuff that the bacteria and other microorganisms of a wastewater treatment plant that they can't absorb, or stuff that's been skimmed off as a part of the settling process. The reason why Listec has a business model is because it's become more difficult, especially in New York, to landfill biosolids. There's a couple reasons why it's difficult. First off, tipping fees. It costs money to landfill stuff. But specifically for biosolids, it's the heavy metal content. It's the pharmaceutical content of material that, you know, when you excrete waste, we'll just be delicate about it, and it goes to a wastewater treatment plant, the bacteria are not there to decompose your Viagra or your birth control pill or your anti-seizure medication or your Prozac. And so that material carries through in the wastewater stream and then is part of the biosolids problem. So it's been recognized that this is waste, and as such, it has issues. In my professional opinion, the best thing to do with biosolids is to incinerate them. However, there is not any incineration plant nearby. Mm. So Listec has a business model.
Well, Bill, thank you for the call. Did you see that study on the Hudson River?
Yes. I work with one of the partners with Lamont Doherty on that research.
For those who have not seen that news, why don't you briefly explain it?
So the organization Riverkeeper does monthly patrols up and down the Hudson River, and as part of it, they had a automatic scooping system of water on the bottom of their boat that then they sent off for analysis to look for food additives and pharmaceuticals, basically. And the largest components that were in, or the components that were most popular in the samples, if you want to talk about popularity, was caffeine, Raygraph,
yeah,
as you take a drink of your coffee.
How do you know it's caffeinated?
Because I know
based
you.
Based on my lethargic performance, I don't see how you get any evidence of that. But, all right, go ahead.
The caffeine was big. And then pain relievers were the ones that were found most commonly. Mm. Now, it's not necessarily the ones that are most common that we may be worried about, but rather the ones that are in therapeutic range of concentration. So even if something is at a really low level, I'll just go with anti-epileptic medication. If that's in water at a certain level, even though it's low, it can still have a biological impact.
Interesting.
So there is well-documented evidence that lithium, which is one of these mood leaveners that's used for people who are bipolar, for example,
right,
that if you are a fish and you grow up in an area that has lithium concentrations in the water, you are mood elevated. You're mood leavened as well as a fish. So you don't have a prey instinct. You won't feed as well. And if you are a prey fish, you won't get out of the way when the walleye comes towards you.
Interesting.
And even a side effect of lithium is a sexual libido that's lowered. That also seems to be the case with fish.
Huh.
So we look at fish populations that may be in jeopardy or be declining, and it may not be direct exposure to the lithium, but rather the effects that the lithium are having on the fish or the other amphibians.
Very interesting.
I would like to ask you a question.
Sure.
As far as pharmaceuticals and such, I just came from the wastewater treatment plant just 2 or 3 days ago.
Correct.
And generally speaking, that stuff winds up in the water, which is going to wind up in the clarifying thing and then finally wind up in the stream anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't wind up in the, generally speaking, it's not going to wind up in the
It depends. Well, there's two sedimentation phases that happen in most wastewater treatment plants where they add a flocculant, and it sounds like I just swore, but
yeah.
I did not
okay,
swear.
Good.
at a flocculant, which takes small particulates and gets them to glom together, and then they're so dense they fall to the bottom, and then they're skimmed out. Mm-hmm. That's where the biosolids are generated for the most part.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's the Science Forum. We go to Greg in East Bern. Greg, you're on.
Hello. My question is, at work, I pack products in a box filled with dry ice with bubble wrap. And when we receive that bubble wrap, that box back, instead of being deflated, being in the cold, that bubble wrap is now expanded. Can you tell me why?
Yeah, so I don't know where the box goes and does, but I'm assuming it ships somewhere and then they ship it back to you to recycle it. Dry ice is solid carbon dioxide. And when it evaporates, it evaporates in a special way we call sublimation. It goes straight from the solid, the chunk that you put in the box, directly to the gas. No liquid. There's no liquid CO2 at atmospheric pressures. So what I would want to do is, so you have all that gas that's saturated, and it's going to go through those bubbles and inflate the bubbles because it's stuck in the box.
What do you think, Greg?
Gotcha.
Oops.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay,
well,
sure.
Thank you very much. Thanks. We appreciate the call. Getting strange gesticulations from the control room. Everything okay over there? No, things are not okay over there. Oh, Windows crashed. All right, well, the phones are still on, so we'll just take a call the old-fashioned way.
We don't need computers anyway, do we, Ray?
Well,
we've been doing this a long time.
You betcha.
People think we use a computer to answer our questions.
Hell, no. We don't even need a transmitter,
we use a brain.
800-348-2551, the number. Let's see if it works. Jane in Springfield. Jane, you're on.
Hi. I have a question. It's more of a dilemma. I was listening to your comments about water. Now, we tell our kids and our students to wash your hands every day and sing a song or say a poem or something like that. They're using gallons and gallons a day just to wash their hands. I know you should, but it's just a dilemma if we're going to be limited to 7 gallons.
Oh, we're not going to be limited to 7 gallons here. In fact, the Northeast probably has more water than anywhere else in the United States. So I certainly wouldn't worry about it that there. But when you're down in Cape Town and you can't flush your toilets anymore because you don't have enough water, that's going to be a whole other story.
There'll be a run on moist wipes in Cape Town in a couple of days.
So, yes, we're fine here. In fact, there's a very good chance as water starts running out in the Midwest that the farms are going to have to start really producing in the Northeast because that's where we have the water.
All right, Jane.
Thank you. There's just been some noise, too, about near Winnipeg in Canada that the flats that are there will become our new corn belt because of global climate change and because of the water that's available in that midsection of Canada, that will be the new place to grow corn.
Which is good because all that grows there right now is mosquitoes.
Our number is 800-348-2551. It's the Science Forum on Vox Pop. Ed Stander and Barbara Brabitz are here to answer your questions. David in New Paltz is next. David.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for doing a good job there.
Thank you.
I have a comment to make about my foot doctor suggested that I use Vicks Vapor Rub on fungal toes. And also, I found that it works, and it also keeps the ticks away. Because of the vapor rub and the odor from it.
The menthol?
And,
well,
mosquitoes
as well. Yeah, eucalyptus oil has been, you know, the liniment of yesteryear. It's kind of back, right? The old is the new, and the new is especially good, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't know what it is about the eucalyptus oil that makes bugs deter, but certainly that is the case. That was what we used to use when we were kids.
Well, so Vicks Vapor Rub. Perfect.
Vicks Vapor Rub.
You
just, you know, it's the people that you worry about. Are they going to come by
you? Put it on the guinea hens. You're all set.
Put it on the guinea hens.
Guinea hens.
Well, that's not helpful.
The cat. Don't put it on the cat.
One other question.
Sure.
We found the mystery of the flying cow. It turns out that we have some nesting parrots that come in and nest with the cows over the winter, and they've taken up the vocabulary of the cow. So in the spring, when they start flying around in the trees, occasionally people have been complaining about a cow up in a tree because they've been mooing.
You're kidding me.
No, we have wild parrots that nest over the winter time with the cows and the chickens.
And where do you go in the winter time? Where do you live?
I?
Yes, you. Where are the cows?
I'm here. The parrots.
Oh, in New Paltz.
Who are wild because they escape from domesticated cages.
Oh, okay.
And fly out the window.
There is a feral parrot that's in New York every once in a while, but I saw them in Cohoes once, but Nymo kicked them out. And those are Carolina parakeets. So if you Google Carolina parakeet, you can see what they look like. They're larger than a budgie, but smaller than a big parrot.
A big gray parrot.
Oh, like an African gray.
And they're
nesting. Nice.
All right, David, you have to call back with this story when the next time Rich Guthrie is on.
Yeah, he'll be thrilled.
That'll make his whole day.
Yeah.
And you know that African grays live to be 70 or 80 years old.
And they're
so
the
this
smartest
is not going to go away.
David, thanks for the call. We got to take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's the Science Forum, and we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Daughters of Sarah Albany, New York, featuring assisted living and respite care at the Masry Residence, friends, family, community. 518-689-0453 for tours or information. George Heigel Antiques, Boston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. Hooked Seafood Company in Galleria 7 Market Latham. Fresh seafood retail market and kitchen with scratch-made lunch and dinner menu. Raw bar, custom orders, and platters available. HookedSeafoodINC.com. The Hyde Collection in Glens Falls this winter opens Alphonse Mucha, Master of Art Nouveau, an exhibition that examines the artist's role in shaping a movement. HydeCollection.org. And Jane Iredale, a mineral makeup company specializing in makeup that is good for the skin. Jane Iredale Retail Shop at Louisa Ellis Boutique, Great Barrington. JaneIredale.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, the Science Forum. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. And we have Barbara Brabets and Ed Stander here to answer your questions. The email line is voxpop@wamc.org. And we have a couple of emails here. This one is from Steve in Wilbraham. Probiotic question. When consuming kefir, I never heard of this.
Yeah, it's a fermented drink.
Okay, when consuming kefir or yogurt with active cultures, are they able to actually get past our stomach to impart their benefits on our lower GI tracts? How often do you need to eat the probiotics to gain the benefits?
They do. For the most part, they can. The little guys, there's the yeast and bacteria are the two. There's two classes of them that can survive the rather vigorous wash cycle and low pH of the stomach. And then they move to the small intestine, and that's where they really set up shop.
Wow.
Once they get into that kind of neutral pH of the small intestine, they really do help kind of establish what we call the biota, the kind of overall floral health of your gut. If you didn't have bacteria and fungi in your gut, you would not be able to digest food. And someone will say it, here I go again, but if you think of newborns before they've really established a gut flora, the consistency of their feces is considerably different than what it is later on. And the difference really has to do with them populating their gut with the proper flora probiotics.
Oh, I'll be darned.
But you do have to replenish them rather. If you have kind of a gut flora that fights your probiotic, you do need to regularly take them. So if I were to take, say, a bottle of Florastore, which would last me about a month, and then I went off of it for a month, then my own microbiota would take over again. So the benefits of probiotic are only as good as a week or two after you take them.
Okay. And this one came in from Todd, who writes, I was in Cancun December 3rd for a week, got bitten by what I think are chiggers. It started with a couple bites that I noticed, and by the time I got back home, I had a bunch of bites all over, mainly legs and feet. The itching was almost unbearable. Mm. I went to my family doctor for relief, and he gave me steroid and did nothing.
Right.
I went to a dermatologist. He gave me a cream to put on for 2 weeks. This kind of made the most of them fade and did ease the itching after about a week or so, but they came back on my legs and feet, and the itching was terrible again. Have you ever heard of such a thing? The doctors don't know what bug it was, but all the pictures I looked at online looked like chiggers. This lasted until the first part of February. Still have bite marks on me. Any ideas?
I'm itching.
Yeah,
we're both
too.
Over here itching.
It started December 3rd, and it lasted until early this month. That is that's rough.
It really sounds like chiggers. Ed, do you want to explain why chiggers are such a problem?
I'd rather not even talk about them.
they burrow into your skin and lay eggs, and then those eggs have to hatch. And when they hatch, they're really not bites. They're eruption marks. So you've got this little alien that's in your body that has to make its way through your skin and get out. That's why the steroid cream doesn't do anything, because it's not an allergic reaction.
Oh.
It's actually physical damage to your skin from the chigger escaping.
And it gets even worse than that, because the chiggers in there are also dropping feces and people are allergic to them. So the itching that you're getting all over the place to a good extent is due to the fact that these little feces that are in there
so
from the
Benadryl
chiggers.
Then maybe?
People will take Benadryl to do something, but you'll fall asleep.
Right. What about sea lice? Right?
Right.
Banders eruption.
It's
could
the
be that,
same
too.
It could be. Yep.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
In Newfoundland, we usually use what we call the blue butter to get rid of them.
The blue butter.
You wind up actually burning off the outside of your skin. You take off the epidermis to get rid of them.
That's just awful.
Well, that's the only way to do it.
It's funny because...
That doesn't sound very scientific.
No.
A friend of mine needed a dermatologist, and they thought they had an infestation. And the discussion in the office was, do they go to, like, the top-line dermatologist? Are they really going to see, like, the chigger-infected people?
Yeah.
Or do you go to someone who's had experience in different cultures other than the United States, been to the Caribbean, been to tropical environments? And so they looked for a tropical medicine doc, and that's how they got relief.
Interesting.
Now, I had something very similar, which I won't mention, but the only way I found out about it, because I went to a dozen different doctors, and again, I got this in China, and the only way I found out about it was reading a book on dermatology and finding it myself.
Okay. Well, self-diagnosis, a little dangerous in this internet age.
Well, you go see the doctor afterwards, and he says, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, no.
And that'll still be $300.
I'm still itching.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 if you have a science question today. And let's go to Ted in Shelburne, Vermont. Ted.
Okay, thank you very much. I think my flora is fine.
Good, good.
And hopefully you have no
chiggers.
Glad
that's
to hear
right.
it.
And I saw a little something on Japanese television app which talked about generating electricity from microbes, kind of, which was really fascinating. And it even harvested, which you could actually possibly get into the sewage digestion business, yep. And it actually harvested phosphorus that could be reused. That only just came out of the microbe kind of talk. I did see the YouTube about that water, and I didn't believe it, and I didn't care enough to try it out. But it's curious.
Well, I'll try it out.
Yeah.
I'll try it out, and if it works, I'll publish.
Public service.
I do have a trivia curiosity in my kitchen work here. If when I'm heating up something cold on the stove, a gas stove, and that condensation, of course, and then you have to, before you can really get heat going into the cold milk or whatever you're heating, you've got to boil off that water coating on the stainless steel, which is, you know, I don't need really response to that, but it's just the way my mind works a little bit. And if I may go, since I know we don't have much time, and this is actually sort of social science, but scientific thinking is such a useful thing going.
Thank you.
And in the social sense, we do have a coming unglued society, it seems. And rather than go after symptoms and results, there's actually something that's preemptive. And I just actually, and I can send something in the mail if I have permission and somebody's name on the envelope.
Yeah, why don't you contact our producer, Jim Lavoulis?
Can I address it to him? Or
sure, yeah, care of the station. And
that's harder to spell. Could I send it to you, Ray?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, I'll do that, thanks. But it's. I'll just briefly describe it. It's, and you've probably heard this, because I try to feed it into the morning crew, and I don't hear that anybody has caught this word of wisdom. There's a program which deals with young children, and it goes through a school year, and it's been researched. It's by a woman. There's a book, Roots of Empathy, by Mary Gordon. And it actually shows, and it's been researched, it shows changes in social sensibility in terms of bullying and aggression and taking care of children and all of these things that one can see the absence of.
Yeah.
It's called Roots of Empathy. It's by Mary Gordon.
All right.
And because I'm asking to send something, I used to just say, Google this thing, this research report 2009. And they have improved their website, and you no longer can find it anywhere. So it's just four pages, two-sided pages. I'll send it in the mail. Thank you very much.
Hey,
Thank you. Love this show.
Appreciate
We're always curious individuals, we scientists.
And let's go over to Larry in Johnstown. Larry.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the bucket of water.
Sure. Yes.
I think I've figured it out. I think because of salt water doesn't freeze, and it stays warmer than the outside temperature. When the horse sticks his tongue and nose down in there and pushes it down into the water below, it displaces that water, and the water comes up so that the horse can get at it. But I would imagine that you've got to have the right amount of salt water in that bottle to keep it at the right amount of flotation in that bucket.
Yeah. So it's so true that salt water resists freezing and will freeze at lower temperatures, but it doesn't. It loses heat at just about the same rate as fresh water.
It's a chemical reaction, am I right?
It's not. It's actually a physical change, not a chemical reaction, but yep. But it loses heat at the same rate as fresh water. So it will be the same temperature as the fresh water around it. Even if the fresh water is frozen, it will be a liquid. They will be the same temperature.
Okay. Well, Larry, thanks a lot for that one. Go over to Chris in Rensselaerville, New York. Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
How's it going, Dr. Bravitz?
Good, Chris.
You were my chem teacher over at Global Skill back in the day.
Oh, so. Wonderful.
Good for you for calling.
I always like to hear your voice on the radio.
Well, my office is pretty much where it's always been, Chris.
I thought I'd mention to you because I heard you mention Carolina parakeets, and I was at the wildlife program there, and if I remember correctly, the Carolina parakeet is the only native parrot to the United States. Unfortunately, they went extinct around the same time as the passenger pigeon and the Carolina heath hen.
Yep,
the
you're right.
The problem we have now are invasive.
They're the ferals. Parakeets. Yes.
Yeah, they're the monk parakeet.
Monk, thank you. You are correct.
They build nests on transformers.
Yep, that's why Nymo pulls them down. Yep.
So,
well, thanks,
Chris. You get a bonus on your next test.
Appreciate the call.
Raises grade by 10 points.
There you go. Right. You're right. It is the monk parakeet. They're the feral ones. There's a big population in the Bronx that is in a cemetery. So birders from all over the world, when they want to see a monk parakeet, will go down to the cemetery and take their binoculars. It's kind of a weird sight.
Let's go over to Matt in Albany. Matt, you're on.
Hi, I have a general question about diatomaceous earth. I think I'm saying it right.
Diatomaceous.
I want to know how safe it is to use in the home or outside the home, how much.
Diatomaceous earth.
Yep. They're skeletons of little...
Forams.
So of little single-celled guys. They are sharp, and they're made of glass, pretty much, silica. And alumina, depending on where they grew up. And the idea of using it as a filter is so because they're sharp-edged at the microscopic level, they catch stuff. So think of it like molecular Velcro. They will stop things from going through. So you can use them in a filter, or you can put them outside your house, and then if a slug or a worm tries to go across them, it's like, ow, 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 and then they don't want to go.
All right.
So I wouldn't eat it.
Wouldn't eat it.
In general, I would not eat dirt.
What about the dirt? I'm sorry, Ray?
I would say in general, I wouldn't eat dirt.
Oh, they're not dirt. They're actually white.
No, they're white.
It's
they're,
very, very
it's,
clear.
It looks kind of cool. They look like, I don't know, like the bottom of aquarium pebbles. I don't want to give anyone any ideas.
Okay, you wouldn't want to do that.
No.
Let's go to Maggie in Mount Vision. Maggie, you're on?
Yes. I was just wondering, you had talked about the chiggers. If you covered the area with a heavy oil or like a Vaseline, would that suffocate them?
Back to the chiggers, eh?
Oh, poor chiggers. I'm not sure because they're under your skin. When they erupt as the adults, I think the oil would capture them so that you wouldn't reinfect. See, the idea is this poor guy has to break the cycle. He has to make sure that the adults die so that they can't lay more eggs. These cycles he's had since December are because the adults are laying eggs in his skin, and then they erupt, and then they come to the surface again.
Right. Okay, and they're only really around in southern climates?
I'm not sure. Yes, they're in the southern climates. I'm not sure how far north they come. I've heard stories from students that they had chiggers on Long Island, but I have not heard that they're in New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Over to Bonnie in Woodstock. Bonnie, you're on.
Oh, I am so glad you got to me. I have the chiggers answer because I have experienced it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm so happy to share this. I hope the gentleman that called is listening. So I got them. I was in the South. I thought I was going to just tear my skin off. And I went to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist, kind of old-fashioned guy, said, clear nail polish. And I said, what? He said, paint those tracks with clear nail polish, and it suffocates them. Done.
Huh.
Ow.
Problem over.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just done. I just painted those clear nail polish, and, you know, within a day or so, they were gone.
Wow.
Never came back.
I think I'd go with the 120-degree bath myself. But.
Well, thanks, Bonnie. We appreciate that one. This one came in via email from Mary. In recent years, I've seen and heard about many more sinkholes than I remember from decades past. Two questions. What causes the sinkholes? And two, they seem to be more common in warm weather. Why? And that's from Mary in Delmar.
Well, it depends on which sinkholes you're talking about. There's a lot of sinkholes lately that have been developing because of pipes underground, for example, or old conduits that are breaking through. And that's simply because they've been washing out for a very long time. So up here, for example, if you're not in a an area with limestone, for example, they're, generally speaking, they're man-made. If you go down south towards places like Florida, you've got the problem down there where the water levels are dropping, and as a result, the pressure underground is releasing a bit, so the sinkholes are forming.
Okay.
But,
and that's from overuse of water, taking too much water out, not having enough perk back in, so right. Population.
All right, and this email came in from Larry. Do pharmaceuticals and lithium get filtered by reverse osmosis?
Yes, they do. For the most part, they do, unless the concentrations are really high. But RO, reverse osmosis, is a system that does allow for a good number of these contaminants in water to be filtered out before they end up in you.
But then I have heard it also takes out all the good stuff, too.
It does. In fact, the new boutique systems have reverse osmosis, which pretty much makes like distilled water at the end. So nothing in it but H2O. And then you'll add
a little
salt
bit
for flavor afterwards. A little sodium bicarbonate or sodium carbonate is added because people don't like the taste of dull water. They need a little bit of something on the tongue.
Something there.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're about out of time. School going to start next week?
School going to start. We're in school. We don't get break
you don't,
like
you guys.
You don't
have a winter break?
No.
President's Week?
No.
Really?
Presidents? No.
We get spring break, so we've got another 3 weeks to go before we have a chance to enjoy ourselves.
Yes.
That way.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us today.
In fact, our next time on Science Forum is during our spring break, Ray.
And we're coming just for that.
We are staying in New York.
You'll be liquored up.
I don't know. Is that an offer?
Only if it's Friday.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, thanks again for being here. Support comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Colby Attorney Service, Corporate Formations, Document Retrieval Services, Court Filings, and Legal Publishing for the legal and professional community since 1939, ColbyService.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, specialty sports eyewear, sunglasses, and eye exams since 1953, SHEEHYOpticians.com. And Hudson Wine Merchants, a wine and spirits boutique in the heart of Hudson, New York. Curbside service and delivery available. Hudson Wine Merchants, raise your glass, HudsonWines.com. Thanks again to Barbara and Ed for being here today. Thank you for listening. And thank you for the great calls and emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thank you to Colleen O'Connell, who answered the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, well, it's a Food Friday. And our Food Friday Hall of Famer, Deanna Fox, will be in the studio with some favorite upstate New York foods. What, wings? What are we talking about here? We'll find out tomorrow. Right now, stand by for news.